It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, let's get to it. Final prep here on Payne and Pendergast for the Green Bay Packers against the Houston Texans on Sunday. In Green Bay, noon kick. Packers are a three-point favorite as of right now. So these two teams are viewed by the betting community as equal teams. On a neutral field, this would be a coin flipper. As of right now, the Packers favored by a field goal. So the big storylines in this game, we've hammered this one today, but I think it's worth hammering again because if the Texans are going to win this game, if defensively they're going to remain sound, it's going to be through the defensive line. And the return of Denico Autry is, if they're getting the version that they thought they were getting when they signed him, we haven't seen him in a Texans uniform yet, this is a huge addition for the team this weekend. Here was Matt Burke yesterday on what Denico Autry brings to the table.
I would say he's toughness, first and foremost. I would say he's a very unique rusher, just as a sort of, not really, I want to say hybrid, but as a big end and an inside rusher. I mean, he's had success at both spots. So it's he just offers some different pitches in terms of when he rushes inside, he rushes like an end inside, which is hard sometimes for guards. A lot of times offensive linemen interior there's not a lot of space. It's close quarters combat when you're rushing inside, right? And so sometimes there's not a lot of room for moves or things. You got to be a little bit more direct. Somehow he's able to create some space and rush. Like when you're rushing on the edge and you have sort of a little bit more area to like build momentum and put a move on and stuff because you're operating in a wider space. He kind of brings that ability inside, which is kind of hard sometimes. It's pretty unique for him. So he can rush on the edge, he can rush inside, and I think he's just, because he's kind of like a in-between type of end tackle, he kind of brings a little different style of rush to the front.
All right, there you go. A lot of what you've described with Denico Autry there, Seth, and his uniqueness in how he gets the job. The reasons why he's able to play both outside and inside on the defense.
Yeah, he's just got very violent hands, and it's cool. It's fun to see. He's got look, it's not like this defensive line group is soft or anything like that at all. Like, they're all pretty tough guys, I think. The Denico Autry plays with a different element of physicality than anybody else on the defensive line, other than maybe Khalil Davis isn't as gifted athletically as Denico Autry is. But it's gonna be, I don't know how many snaps he gets, but I think it's almost impossible that he doesn't show up in a meaningful way. He's going to try to really wreck somebody's world, and he's got pent-up motivation, probably a little bit of a chip on his shoulder for a guy who already plays with a chip on his shoulder. So I'm excited about that, and it's big. You've got this many backups playing potentially on Sunday. The defensive line really has to lead the charge, and that includes when you might have two backup defensive tackles in there.
Yes.
The whole rotation of defensive end slash tackles, there's a lot of pressure on them on Sunday.
There is a chance that the starting defense, and this is really bullet point number two, the starting defense, the interior of the defensive line is Tim Settle and Khalil Davis, that the two linebackers they trot out there are Neville Hewitt and Jake Hansen, and that they have D'Angelo Ross starting at corner opposite Derek Stingley Jr. and Kalen Bullock, or Eric Murray, or both, actually, probably in there at safety since they play nickel a lot. And Jalen Petrie's up there as sort of that hybrid, you know, nickel slot corner linebacker spot that he plays.
Yeah.
It's a lot of backups.
I think the biggest thing really is the other part that it puts a lot of pressure on is just the offense. And the offense being like an offense that can help the defense out. Mm-hmm. They just go through far too many stretches where they'll have multiple three and outs or punt possessions in a row. And then they come back and they get it going. But they've got to take control of the game. And I think the Texans' offense has a better chance of doing that versus this Packers defense than the Packers defense can just play genuine ball control offense versus this Texans defense, as long as the defensive line is doing its job. I don't think this game's going to be as high scoring as it might look or appear just from the logos and the quarterbacks. We've already seen that the Texans aren't as great at scoring points as some of their numbers would suggest.
Yeah.
And the Texans, when healthy, have been one of the best defenses in the league. I think that's going to get tested a little bit, but I think they play bend but don't break and are going to be mostly successful at that. So I've got the Packers mostly by way of home field advantage and Texans defensive injuries. I've got the Packers winning, but it's going to be a nail biter. 22-21.
22-21.
This much is more low scoring than most people.
This is
predicting.
A little like your, it's not a little, it's a lot, other than you're picking the, you're not picking the Texans. That's a big difference.
Yeah.
But this is a lot like your, in terms of game flow, your prediction for the Bills game a couple of weeks ago, where
yeah.
I and many others thought that would be a track meet because of the two quarterbacks and it's, you know, it's indoors, it's all, you know, all these things. I thought that game was going to be, you know, like a Buffalo 34-27 kind of game. I have Packers 31-27 in this one. That Buffalo game, you had 20-19, and you were right there. I mean, you were sitting
yeah.
right almost at that score late
if
in the game.
If the Texans could have just allowed a safety,
you'd have been right
you
there.
You know, we would have been there. I would have nailed it, yeah.
So, you're envisioning, it sounds like a very similar game to that one, you
yeah.
know, in terms of game flow. So, 22-21 Packers.
I like giving out weird scores, too, because one thing I've noticed is you've got a much better chance of making it look like you were really close. So the, you know.
Well, and if you hit it.
If I go 21-20, there's two. It's too easy for it to be 24-20 or something, where you go 22, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's 23-21 or something. Yeah, okay, that makes, yeah.
We should make it so that when we do our score predictions, that you have to predict a scorigami each week.
A normal, oh, yeah.
Like a score that's never happened before.
Yeah. We should predict, I guess you should force me to predict more normal scores. 22-21 is not a normal score.
Yeah, it's all right, though. I mean, it's better than your 49-3 predictions that you were doing jokingly earlier this year.
Yeah.
It's better than that.
I said those jokingly expecting an offensive explosion at some point, and then I realized, like, all right, I
got to lay off.
I got to actually do this more seriously.
The thing we're getting texts the most of today, at least in the last 15 to 20 minutes, are texts about the scapula. The shoulder blade, the mm-hmm. bone that is keeping Kamari Lassiter out of this game on Sunday and perhaps more games down the road, with people with their scapula stories. My dad broke his scapula playing paintball, finished the game, and then drove himself to the hospital. That's pretty strong.
The scapula, I was calling it a useless bone, and people were well-actioning me on that. Yeah, I understand. Like, without a scapula, basically, you've got nothing holding your shoulder in place.
Do you?
It's kind of a big deal. It's kind of a big deal. But you never hear much about it other than when it's broken.
Yeah.
And it does seem to be an injury that it's not, you can function with it partly. We've got one guy claiming he broke his scapula and finished the beer, and actually watched football that Sunday by just switching his beer drinking hand.
Yeah.
And then said, come on, Kamari, it up.
Come on, Lassiter. Yeah.
Should we be giving Keon Coleman more grief for throwing Lassiter to the ground and breaking his scapula?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't think he meant to do it, you know?
I think it was a smart play by Keon Coleman. That was one of those ones where, if it weren't an OPI, it could have been an interception.
Easily.
And pretty much the game-ending interception. So it was a heads-up play by Keon Coleman.
Easily. Text message, when we were kids, this goes back to snowboarding. When we were kids, skateboarding with boards that had steel wheels and huffy bikes with cut-off jeans, that was pre-snowboarding. That was the daring thing people used to do, was biking with no helmets and cut-off jeans on. Or skating on skateboards that had steel wheels.
Dude, yeah, those early skateboarders that were doing it in drained out swimming pools in California and everything. It was, whatever videos you see of it, you got to understand how much more impressive it was that they were doing it with just awful, awful skateboards.
Yeah. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Text message, I snowboarded the first time in December. It was easy to pick up if you can use a ripstick. Do you know what a ripstick is? I have no idea what that is. Reggie knows. Reggie's nodding his head. Reggie Atatula, John Lopez, they are here. Trust me, guys, we've been talking about Packers and Texans quite a bit today.
I'm not your daddy and I'm not your boss. You don't got to say anything to me.
I just
want to
make sure that you know what your lead-in is doing here. What is a ripstick?
All right, so a ripstick is almost kind of like a skateboard. Yeah. Lopez knows. It's a singular kind of stick with almost like a couple of pads front and back.
Okay.
And they swivel at the middle. So that, like,
you can thrust yourself.
Yeah, you can wiggle your way down the pathway that you seem to be skating down.
Okay, gotcha.
But it's an individual skate on both sides. So it's not like you have like a skateboard where it's 2x2.
Yeah.
Where you have axles.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
But we're talking about snowboards here.
Right, but the guy said snowboarding is easy to pick up if you use a ripstick, and
I think it forces you to have that kind of slalom.
Yeah,
you know?
Okay,
yeah. Kind of swivel your hips and your feet. And,
right. I guess I was confused. I thought it was a type of snowboard. So he's saying if you do use a ripstick on normal ground, then you can pick up snowboard more easily.
Okay. There you go. Okay, how you guys doing?
Really good.
How you feeling?
About what?
About less anxious.
You were anxious yesterday.
That's right. It was a lot of anxiety.
You've been able to tamp it back a little bit.
That's right. Yeah, I have. Okay. I did even more research on this game, and I'm like, look, I feel better.
Finding reasons. I'll tell you what, the one thing that seemed to make Seth feel a little better about the Texans' chances defensively with these injuries was a texter who in the 9 o'clock hour said, hey, I feel good about D'Amico Ryans getting these backup linebackers coached up and ready for the game, because he's a really good linebackers coach back in the day.
I'm approaching this game like I do a fishing trip, and let me explain.
Okay.
I have apps. I have weather apps. I have all kinds of data that I use. Hey, I'm going fishing Friday, Saturday, Sunday, whatever. I find the app that is most conducive to a good day fishing, and I trust that one.
Okay.
Like, there's a lot of reasons. Like, I'm looking at this Texans game. Like, there are a lot of reasons why this is going to be an L.
Yeah.
But I tend to look at the forecast.
Which?
That is the most promising.
Is glass half full.
Yes.
Like, yeah, I'll take all the data, and the data that makes me feel the best and that is more conducive to my argument is the one that I believe to be the most true.
Absolutely. When I go fishing, I have one weather prediction, the forecast that says, it's going to be 30-mile-an-hour winds. Yeah. Rain, cold, and then there's another one that says it's going to be 15 mile an hour. I trust that one.
Yeah,
the on ramp. You're out there with the Farmer's Almanac.
Yeah. The on ramp for the Delusion Highway. I got you. So that injury report yesterday that it's literally the exact same six guys who are out.
Yeah, right. Yeah, not good.
Yeah,
I'm not looking at that app.
I do like though.
The injury report.
I think you could foresee this being a really close game, and I do like that sets the stage for either C.J. Stroud or Jordan Love to be the hero.
Yeah.
So that's ultimately
MVP gloss.
That's what I'm. I'm calling this a 1-point game right now. So obviously very, very winnable, and it might come down to heroics at the end of the game
or a kicker
or a kick. Well,
the Texans have the edge,
and they got a big edge there. Yeah, they got a big edge there. The Packers are they've been cycling guys in and out. They got Brandon McManus there now. Seth, kind of the same thing I was saying heading into the Buffalo game, which is, you know what, on Monday, the winner of this game and their quarterback is going to be the A topic, which ended up being true, except that it was Buffalo. The quarterback of one of the teams was the A topic, but it was Josh Allen, how poorly he did, and how badly Sean McDermott botched the end of the game. The Texans were not a topic at all after beating Buffalo, and I feel like there's so many good games this weekend that this one's getting, not buried, but it's taking a back seat to San Francisco and KC and Detroit and Minnesota. And Russell Wilson starting for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, and that's people are coming down hard. Like, it's just, I think there's a lot more take fodder elsewhere than this one, where it's just like there's a good game here and a couple of good quarterbacks, hopefully we get to see them. Like, I don't know that there's a lot of takes, and maybe the place that you would have takes or animosity or what have you, Diggs, Jair Alexander, you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
Nobody took the bait on that one.
No. Was Jair asked about it at all?
I didn't see. And okay. He probably is the one more likely to take the bait.
Yeah.
To be completely honest, though.
For sure.
Yeah, Brandon, I feel like, I almost said Brandon Cooks. Stephon Diggs is a guy that I think is aware he is aware that at least that there's times where he should have stifled himself a little bit. Whereas I feel like Jair Alexander just has zero care in the world about any time he said anything controversial or anything.
I had forgotten about that beef between those two, and I had forgotten what it looked like.
Mm-hmm.
Stephon Diggs looked like Jon Snow holding the sword with the entire army running at him. That meme, like he ran right into the Packers line coming onto the field, just starting getting right up in his face.
Yep.
Hey, if you're waiting for a kicker, a genuine kicker showdown, the Cowboys versus the Texans, Brandon Aubrey they're both tied. Kyme Fairbairn and Brandon Aubrey are tied for the most 50-plus yard field goals made. They're both 8 for 9 on attempts from 50-plus. So, yes, at this point, I'd be surprised if the Cowboys game comes down to a field goal, but still, that would be the nice showdown there.
I look forward to Seth's 18-15 prediction for that game in a couple of weeks.
I surely hope that the offense is firing on all cylinders significantly more than that.
That'll be good.
Yeah.
All right, Seth, I'll see you 9 a.m. on Sunday. Antibodies to you, my friend.
Yes, and victory. Death to my prediction.
Let's get it.